This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
If we don't have things to spout off about, you know, I need breaks. That's what I need. There's so much going on, so much politics. I have to pick and choose what I can talk about because I have two terrific guests for you today. One of them I haven't fully confirmed. So if he doesn't show up, you know, I'm just going to talk right through. But if you'd like to join me in this first 15 minutes, possibly in a half an hour, 888-627-6008 if you're listening live. Karen Cataline, your host, and yes, I'm just getting my act and my brain together. It is great to be here on my home show because I do a lot of other shows, but Spouting Off is mine. And I've been thinking about a lot that's going on. Not only has there been the Epstein files that are just coming out now about, gee, is anybody shocked that Bill Clinton was not only going to and from the Epstein island, but that he's guilty of having sex with minors? I mean, who's really shocked by that? You shouldn't even be shocked by the fact that the media has been covering up for him all this time. So all that, me too, me too, me too, only applies to certain people at certain times and only when the left thinks that you're worthy of going after. The amount of selective outrage is generally outrageous. Can I say that? Yes, I can. You can blanketly be outraged by the selective outrage of the left going for broke in an election that they refuse to begin. Does anybody realize that there's supposed to be an election in November? And of course, Donald Trump just put the left's hair on fire once again by saying, we might not be able to have an election. And who thinks, even the conservatives, Republicans, think somehow that he's not playing with them? You know, it is amazing to me how people still, after almost 4 years, 3 years, whatever it is, actually it's almost four, still don't get Donald Trump. And he likes it that way because he understands controlling the narrative. Now, do I know exactly what he has up his sleeve? No. But if the left can decide whether a restaurant can have the full complement of guests in their restaurant, if the left can make everyone in an entire country, state by state, put a schmata on their face. And I love that. I mean, I finally found a purpose for the word schmata. Schmata is Yiddish for a rag, and that's exactly what they're telling us to put on our faces. And never mind that there's a contradiction between people, between scientists, between physicians. Nobody cares. When the left puts down an edict, they expect you to hop to, man. So Donald Trump is simply doing the same thing to them. And of course, they can't stand it because they want to, as I have said many times, and I'll keep saying it, they want to be God in their universe and in yours too. And that's not even what I was going to talk about. So what I wanted to talk about in this first 15 minutes before we take our break, I would love to talk about the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which I have been, what do they call it, binge watching. My dear sweet husband with an edge, HW, got Amazon Prime. And I have not seen the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but of course people have talked to me about it because I'm a nice Jewish girl who is not always so nice. Certainly the rare conservative Jewish talk show host. And they've been telling me to watch this. So I finally watched it. I'm into the third season already, probably because my husband has been out of town. So I've been watching the marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And I'm just going to make one comment to you, which I hope it is amazing how the left gets away with the constant hypocrisy and contradictions. So Hollywood made this film. And of course, the characters are now going socialist, Marxist, left, although it is an extremely well-made, well-written series. What I think is so interesting is that the generations of today who've been indoctrinated with how great and wonderful socialism is have absolutely no clue that it was liberals who loved. Lenny Bruce is a major character in this show, and I just love it because Lenny Bruce got arrested many times. Fascinating story of Lenny Bruce, the stand-up comic of the late 50s. He died in 65, and he died of a drug overdose on his bathroom floor. There's terrible pictures of him lying there, I think, in a similar situation as Elvis. Nonetheless, he wasn't too happy at the end, but he fought and fought against censorship, and it was the left who championed him as a true leader in the fight for free speech. Because what they were fighting back then were the obscenity laws of Christians and of religious people who said that he had an obscene act, and he was fighting for free speech. What is so incredible, and I know you know where I'm going with this today, is that those same lefties today, if they haven't become conservatives by now, are the ones that would be putting Lenny Bruce back in jail. They are the big censors. They are the big determiners of what we're allowed to see, think, and hear. Case in point, the physician video, which if you even reposted, you may have been taken off Facebook, as Breitbart was. I'm just recounting. Usually I don't do that. Usually I like to just analyze the hell out of it, because you already know the news or you wouldn't be listening to me. Although sometimes we have to recap certain things. So just as a point of information, my entire website got taken down this week and got attacked by something like 35,000 bots or DDoS or whatever it was, and I had to pay some money to get it back up and running, and it was attacked miserably. And I thought, damn, I didn't think I was that important. Actually, I don't think I am that important, but I have a motto. Well, not a motto, but I have a comment about this censorship, which is appalling and should shock the conscience of every liberty-loving human being, which I think it does. And that is, it doesn't matter what they censored, other than to know that whatever it is must be awfully important, or they wouldn't gone to the trouble to censor it. And I'm talking about this physician video, which I'm sure you know about. There was a wonderful African physician. These were all doctors saying that hydroxychloroquine works. She has seen it work personally, and yet the billionaires of Facebook and Twitter have decided that they know more than physicians. No, that's not it. There's a certain narrative that they need, want, desperate for us to believe. And so I posted something on my Facebook page, and it, of course, it travels over to my website when it's running. And it said, just like Glinda said in The Wizard of Oz, when she told Dorothy with regard to her ruby slippers right after the opening, when she first comes to Munchkin Land, and Glinda comes in a puff of fire and smoke or whatever it is, and she says, keep tight inside of those ruby slippers, because they must be very powerful, or she wouldn't want them so badly. And she's referring to the Wicked Witch of the East. So it doesn't take a genius or a rocket scientist to figure out that if the left is desperate for us to think that hydroxychloroquine will kill us, if the left is desperate for us to not know what physicians know and to be kept in the dark about what certain doctors think And it is pretty amazing. This is a doctor from Africa who happens to be black, who's female, and yet they want to demonize her to win an inch of her life, not because of she's of any of those things. If we demonize somebody on the left, we'd be called a racist. But of course, they're not racists because none of their laws and rules and stupid things apply to them. But they're not racist for demonizing her and vilifying her because she's saying something they don't want to hear. That is so serious. This isn't, you know, that is an old Soviet Union tactic. And I'm not seeing enough outrage over it. I don't see enough outrage over that. In our few minutes left, I have about four, something like that. My producer will let me know. I wanted to talk about fear. And of course, there's so much fear. I only have 2 minutes. Doggone. But I might have a chance to continue this. So there's so much fear and anger today. And it all depends on what you're afraid of. I've had the most fascinating conversations with people on Facebook and elsewhere. And I invite you to join in on Twitter. It would be nice to have, 1,000 Twitter followers. I think I have like 700 something, whatever it may be. I don't go after all out of my way. But here's the point, since I have to get to it in a hurry. If you're afraid of a virus killing you, then that's going to direct your politics right now. If that's what scares you, you're going to take all precautions, no matter how preposterous and ridiculous. If you're afraid of what I'm afraid of, which is the United States of America, the greatest country ever designed, falling to socialism and communism, then you're going to have a totally different point of view. So I think that is what informs my viewpoint, even when I get into these bizarre conversations with people on Facebook who are telling me what a liar Donald Trump is and 20,000 lies he's told. And they believe that stuff, you know? It's amazing. Anyway, we are going to take a quick break here on Spouting Off. And when we come back, we'll either have a guest or we'll have more of me. Either way, you get me. So Karen Cataline here on Spouting Off. Stay tuned. There's a whole lot more to come.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KStarRadioNetwork.com.
Oh, me of little faith. I told you I wasn't sure that my guest would be here because I didn't get a confirmation, but sure enough, he's here. Norman Schaebel, attorney, playwright, and author, happens to be my cousin, and he's been practicing law over 50 years and involved in all aspects of the law, from assistant prosecutor, that is, to real estate development. He's also a playwright and a novelist. This man doesn't let grass grow under his feet. His play, A Class Act, was off Broadway, and it's headed to be performed in Miami in 2021. Welcome to Spouting Off, Norman Schaebel.
Hey, it's good to be here, Karen. It's, I haven't seen you in at least about 6 months. We got together 6 months ago, but I'm glad to be here, and I'd love to relate to your audience some of my thoughts about the world around us and what it's doing to us.
Great. Well, you are in the world of Spouting Off. So what is it that has been most up in foremost in your mind right now as we head into the November election and we're in the twilight zone of the world? I've never seen anything quite like it. But what's getting to you these days, Norman?
Well, first of all, what's getting to me is the political scene that we will be going through when this election takes place. Donald Trump is a good president, was a good president, but I don't believe any politician can weather the storm when you have this virus that attacks the economy and kills so many people of ours. And the only question is, when is it going to be over with? Hopefully.
Can I take issue with that, Norman? Because
yeah.
Here at Spouting Off, it's always fun to argue. I'm going to take issue with you because I don't think the virus is what's attacking the economy. I think it's the left that is using the virus as an excuse to attack the economy, because we have seen lie after lie after lie coming from the same deep state as to the reality of this virus. This virus, it has been shown. I think you know the argument that I'm getting at. I think that there's an old phrase in the mob, cui bono, which means who benefits. And I'm sure you know that because you're originally from New Jersey. You grew up in New Jersey and New York, and you know about that. And the left has been benefiting massively by taking away people's rights, advancing their leftist, socialist, communist agenda, and scaring people to death over a virus that has a 0.2% on a less than mortality rate. Where am I wrong?
Well, I don't think you're wrong. All I merely say is that Donald Trump was doing very well politically, universally. Come March, up to March of this year, we had a great economy going. It was going to get even better toward the end of his term when the re-election occurs. But the point is, it's a great mountain to climb to try to get people to survive with this video sitting out there. We're not talking about 200 people, 2,000 people. We're talking of millions of people are not only dying, but they're suffering.
Millions of people aren't dying. As I said, it's a point to even the CDC, which it has been found was inflating the numbers. We know in Colorado, even, there are people that have died of alcohol poisoning, and yet they counted it as coronavirus. We've seen just an enormous amount of disingenuousness and lies coming from the same leftist governors, the same unelected bureaucrats who are shutting down businesses. They have a vested interest in keeping people unhappy and miserable and losing their livelihoods. My only question, and then I will let you comment absolutely, is the implications of how serious this is, that the left, the radical left that controls the Democrat Party, is willing to let people suffer because of politics.
You know, to tell your audience, there's a great article in the Wall Street Journal Friday's paper by Phil Gramm, who you probably know is a Republican politician.
Mm-hmm.
And he synopsizes the Biden-Sanders manifesto. And that's exactly what the Democrats are going to put forth to our population, our elected population, come November 3rd. And that's the problem. Well, notwithstanding what you say is certainly correct, that this flu of ours should not terminate some of the good things that our country stands for and that our president stands for.
You've had people trying to sabotage this president from the moment he ran. And why is it that the virus They never worry about the virus when people are looting, rioting, and burning cities down. They only want to shut down conservatives. I guess the virus is liberal, right? I mean, it's preposterous what they're trying to put over on us, isn't it?
No, no. Look, the virus is a great expedient to for the Democrats to take under their cloak, because when you have hundreds of thousands of people who are sick and hundreds of thousands of people in this world that are dying, the Democrats have a great excuse to try to push forward.
Yeah, but your numbers are wrong. The hundreds of thousands of people are not dying, all right? If that were so, then they wouldn't have the propaganda media telling people that the numbers of cases are up because they've been testing and testing and garbage in, garbage out. There's lots and lots of false positives. Well, they use that as an excuse to shut cities down again. In Colorado, every time there's a new excuse, you know, a new number, the despicable Governor Jared Polis continues to extend his emergency powers, which, of course, he's awarded to himself. I'm just pointing out, we don't disagree, Norman. I'm just pointing out the fact that the left is deliberately using this in an election year, along with the rioting, the looting. It's an orchestration for the election. It is being orchestrated. Within just a couple of months in 2019, 80,000 people died of the seasonal flu, and it was a blip on the radar. Nobody even knew about it because people do die of the flu. And this time, people are so terrified of the coronavirus, which is similar in its death rate of the seasonal flu and the same population. If you're vulnerable, you should take care of yourself and be careful. And now, because it's politically expedient, now people are I use a pun, deathly afraid of this virus. They won't even leave their house. They won't even get a test for a colonoscopy because they're terrified. That's evil to do to people, isn't it?
Look, I don't disagree with you. You're talking on the same line I'm talking about.
I thought
the
so.
The problem is this. You have an election coming up in mm-hmm. less than 3 months. Joe Biden, who has got to be the worst candidate I've ever took issue of in running for president, Joe Biden is an embarrassment, is right. He's a Democratic. Yeah. I mean, we've had elections for the 200 and some years that this country has been alive. The point is, he has decided, look, I have the nomination from the Democrats. Now let me get somebody in there who can talk his way like Sanders and Warren. What he's done is, from his middle of the road appointment, he now is as left as Sanders. And
he's a hack. He's not going to be in control anyway.
He's not going to be in control.
The left will be in control no matter who is president. If, God forbid, they win the White House, it won't matter who is the figurehead. It'll only matter that they win the presidency. What's your feeling, Norman, in a little bit of rushing ahead here? Do you fear that Donald Trump may not be reelected, or do you have a prediction?
Well, as of a couple of months ago, I thought that Trump could not lose, but because of what's happened,
shows you how quickly politics. Yeah,
in the last month or 2 months, as our disease has gone along with people are dying or sick or whatever it is. The point is the Democrats, Biden and Sanders and Warren, are they catching the brass ring of the American public who's going to be elected, who's going to elect within 3 months from now? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is going to be. I look upon
nobody does.
I favor Trump because I think he did a hell of a job in the last 3.5-4 years. What he's done is not only made money and business for the one class, He has made money in business for all the classes.
And you know why he's such a threat to the left, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
he's a giant threat.
It's not that they hate his guts. They don't hate his guts. They've been, quote, trumping up hatred for his guts because he's the only one that stands in the way of their Marxist socialist agenda for this country that they've been planning for quite a long time. And then this man comes along who turns it over, turns the tables on him, and stands in the way and actually represents the people who brung him to the dance. That's what's been going on. And
well,
you know what?
I don't think
Truman or whoever it was. You're just a little older than me, not that much older than me, but who was the president during polio? Was it in the late 50s or whatever? I mean, FDR had polio, but I'm talking about in the 50s and the polio scare. They didn't blame Truman for polio. I don't think they're going to blame Donald Trump for the virus. It's idiotic to think so.
I just think that the Democrats are utilizing this virus that's taking over and is scaring a lot of people in this world.
They took it over.
Myself.
If you had a candidate like Biden, would you want a real traditional election? Probably not. I hate to tell you how quickly things pass here. How can people see your play or connect with you?
My play is, as soon as they lift the shade of this disease, I'm in Florida.
Right.
I'm in the Jewish Community Center of Aventura. In Florida, just outside of Miami, and it's probably whenever they lift this veil over us, the play will go on. It's a play that's timely also at what we're talking
about because it's about the election. I'm sure. I hate to let you go. Time is so quick on talk radio. Thank you so much, Norman Schaebel,
for joining us.
Thank
you for having me. Yeah,
I always love having you. I'll have you again.
Yeah,
all right.
Thanks again. Take care. Bye-bye.
My pleasure. That was Norman Schaebel and a cousin, and he's got a lot of opinions, and I enjoy talking to him. This is what you do in your dining room table. When we come back, we'll have another wonderful guest. I will introduce you to her. Can't wait to talk to her. This is Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off. We'll be right back. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N. And Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening. And if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. I am delighted to have with us the very first time someone named, I'm going to just give you her Twitter handle because that's how I met her. And this is the great thing. I mean, there's advantages and disadvantages to social media. We're certainly finding the disadvantages because they control the message. There's censorship beyond anything we ever dreamed would happen in the United States of America. And we must fight that at all costs. But I was fortunate enough to connect with someone who sounded an awful lot like me. Her handle sounds like me, but she got it first. And that's great. She is known as Right Wing Jewess. That's Right Wing Jewess, J-E-W-E-S-S. As soon as I saw her profile, I said, gotta know this person. And sure enough, we started communicating a little bit. Welcome, Right Wing Jewess, to Spouting Off.
Thank you so much, Karen. Thank you for the invite. I'm delighted to be with you.
Oh, you sound delightful, too. And this is the funny thing. We're really talking for the first time on the air. So you have quite the following on Twitter. I have not been able to succeed to do that. I keep saying that it would be nice if I had enough Twitter followers to warrant being shadow banned. But you apparently do. You have a whole bunch. Tell us how you got started in this. And how long you've been a right-wing person. I know you've been a Jewess all your life, as I have been.
Yes. Well, you know, I joined Twitter many, many years ago, but I really didn't have any interest in the platform. At that time, I was using Facebook quite a lot and posting political stuff on Facebook. And then Donald Trump got elected, lo and behold, and I started to tweet. And I discovered that Twitter offered an avenue for me that was wonderful because I'm surrounded by liberals. Wherever I go, I'm surrounded by liberals. So Twitter let me know that, first of all, I'm not alone, that a lot of people out there think the way I think. And that was so exciting to me. And it also seems to suit my writing style, you know, a punch to the gut in 248 characters or less. I love that.
I bet you're happier now that it's 248 instead of 140, didn't it used to be?
Yeah, it did, and 140 is really too limiting. It really is. I think they were very smart to go to 248. So I just have a ball with it, and lo and behold, I'm at 32,400 followers.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Wow.
3.5 years. It's just amazing. But really, I think the secret to success on Twitter is to post a lot of original content. You know, I always am posting original content and then retweeting people and commenting. But you really do have to have an active presence to grow your following. And I'm pretty active.
Yeah.
You are.
I did better when Facebook would automatically tweet my stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But now you cannot do that anymore. And so most of my original content starts on Facebook and then finds its way, except for my website. Anyway, that's too personal. Let's talk about first off, were you always a conservative or did you have an aha moment?
Well, you know, I come from a family where my mother was the youngest of 12 children and they are all liberals. All of them are liberals. The ones that still talk to me, and I have to say there aren't very many.
that's so sad, but I totally understand. I think our listeners understand too.
I know. It is so sad. You know, there's so many other things to talk to people about besides politics, but it's been my experience that folks on the right are a whole lot more tolerant than folks on the left of differing opinions. But that's another subject entirely.
So true.
So I grew up in a very liberal household. My mother was a card-carrying communist when she was in college.
Oh, my God, you're a red diaper baby, just like David Horowitz.
I know.
Could this happen in a Jewish family? Yes, it could.
Yes,
wow.
It could. So when I was a teenager, for the first time, I read Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. And it really shook me to my core, I have to say. Now, It made more sense to me than anything I had ever heard from any liberal, you know. But I really didn't become terrifically political until I was in my 30s. I mean, I always voted Republican because the Democrats just made no sense to me. So I always voted Republican, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't that politically aware. I wasn't politically involved until I got into my 30s. And then I really started paying attention, And, I just, for the life of me, Karen, I can't figure out how anybody who pays attention, could ever vote for a Democrat. I just can't.
Yeah. So, and when you were in your 30s, what was happening at the time? What was it that made you sit up and take notice? I know that I credit Bill Clinton with making me a political activist because during Juanita Broderick, I just lost my mind. I looked at that. I saw her video and I said, my God, she's telling the truth. I thought that was the worst that could ever happen in politics. And boy, I was wrong.
Boy, you were wrong.
Yeah, it's gotten worse, believe it or not. A rapist in the White House. Nope, that's not the worst. It could get worse. What about you?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think it was just a combination of things. At the time, I was married, and I was married to someone who was pretty political, and he was more of a conservative libertarian. And we used to talk politics all the time, and that really broadened my recognition as well. And sometime in my late 30s, I started listening to Rush, and that was the end of it. You know, I was a raving conservative after listening to Rush.
Yeah, because he puts it together for you. I'll tell you what, Atlas Shrugged, to be able to, my very first serious boyfriend was a libertarian and still today is like a historian on Ayn Rand.
Wow.
And you know, for all of her weaknesses, and she had plenty of them. To write such a tome that could be that influential and that persuasive, you know, you gotta take your hats off to her.
And that prescient, Karen, she wrote those books 50 years ago. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It just shows you that there's nothing really new under the sun, that the stuff that we're seeing now looks just like the old Soviet Union.
Right.
I'm horrified by this censorship. Tell us about that censorship on Twitter. Have you experienced this? My website was just taken down this week by hackers, which was just amazing.
Gosh.
I didn't think I was that important. I'm not. Tell you, what about you? Because you have much more Twitter followers.
Yeah,
than I
do. I've been in Jack's gulag twice. I have an alternate profile, which I don't want to give on the air because I don't want Jack to know I have an alternate profile. But
okay, Jack, you can't know. That's it.
The first time I was taken down, believe it or not, was for calling Mika of Morning Joe a broad. That was it. Very common term for women in the 40s, right? A broad.
Yeah, yeah. But anti-Semitism all over Twitter. You know,
right.
Ilhan Omar, no problem, right?
Exactly.
No problem.
Exactly. But call Mika of Morning Joe abroad and you're in jail for 2 weeks. And the second time I was in the gulag was for a tweet that I thought was just beautiful. Jack disagreed.
Tell us. What was that?
I said Jack disagreed. The second time I was in Twitter jail was for a tweet that I thought was great, but Jack clearly disagreed.
Uh-huh.
So back into jail I went. So
remember what that was? I want to hear. We all want to hear the tweet.
Yeah, I do. Hang on just a sec. I'm walking you over to walking it over. So I thought this was a really fine tweet, but as I say, Jack disagreed. So what the tweet said was, now would be the time, Donald Trump, for scorched earth. Leave not one man standing to rise up against you. Nuke Obama and unseal his records. Carpet bomb Democrats who are dirty. Drop napalm on Chappaqua. And finally, release all declassified records. Do it now.
Well, you know, you can't talk figuratively. Or make metaphors if you're a conservative. If you're a liberal and you basically tell people to burn it down and they actually do, no problem, right?
Exactly. The horrendous things that liberals have said, not only about Donald Trump, which is, you know, that's bad enough, but just about conservatives. If you disagree, you're a racist. If you disagree, you're a misogynist. You're a homophobe. You're, you know, whatever epithets they can throw at you, they throw them at you. And it is infuriating.
Well, and it's all emotion. You know, they play only on emotion. And isn't it interesting that only a certain number of people are figuring out or finding out that everything that they have been accusing conservatives of is precisely what they do? From That's being true. A racist, from condescension towards people in the minority, whatever it may be. I'll tell you what would be fun, and you've been so kind to agree to, you know, stay with us after the break, and we do have a couple minutes left. Mr. Producer, tell us how many. He has me on a clock. I don't even know what it is. It's amazing. and that is, if I had a nickel for every time someone asked me, how come Jews are so liberal? You could be one of the few conservative Jewish women other than myself that I've ever talked to. I know maybe one more. Yep, we only have 2 minutes. So we're going to get started with this conversation because I know what I usually answer, and I cannot wait to hear what you answer. With 2 minutes left, I hate to kind of interrupt you in the middle because we do have to take a break and we're on a tight clock. But am I right that you get asked this question a whole bunch, right?
All the time. All the time. Not just on Twitter. On Twitter, I get asked constantly. But just in day-to-day life, you know, how can you be a conservative? You're Jewish. You know,
oh,
and
yes,
I guess
on the left. That's true. On the left and from Jews, we get, how can you join any club that would have them as a member, meaning Christians? Since we don't trust them and they all want to convert us, I guess you're not allowed to share an ideology with them. I have some mottos about this. I have about a minute. So we've whetted the appetite of the audience, which is really great. And and we will get to talking about that. Usually I always say it's a 2-hour conversation. And even after 2 hours, you really don't even understand it even then. But I do have a couple of stock answers. Can't wait to hear what you say to non-Jews when they say, why are Jews so liberal? We're talking to the Twitter star, right-wing Jewess. And we'll have more with her right after this. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. We'll be right back.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
So happy to have you stay with us. We're talking to a Twitter phenomena, and you know, she's got the secret. She spends time on Twitter, and she's got loads and loads of followers, right-wing Jewess. You know, and you see a right-wing Jewess, and you know you are one. You figure, you know, this is someone I ought to talk to. So thank you for staying with us, right-wing Jewess. I just love talking to you. You know, as I don't usually get to talk to right-wing Jewesses like myself. So it's funny. It's nice. And yet we don't, I'm sure there are things we could disagree about, but I also have a feeling there's a lot of similarities. So before the break, we were talking about how we are both constantly asked, why are Jews so liberal? So what do you tell the people that ask you that?
You know, I'm always a little flummoxed when I'm asked that. And I sort of rely on the answer that liberalism runs in Jewish DNA. And we've been the underdog for the millennium, right? And so we mm-hmm. always identify with those people who are persecuted or who are treated badly, treated poorly. Mm-hmm. And so the natural progression of that, even though it's completely wrongheaded, is to follow the Democrat Party, because even though the Democrat Party does nothing for the poor, they claim to be for the poor, and they claim to, you know, to want to help people who just can't quite help themselves. I mean, that's the big mm-hmm. lie of the Democrat Party, certainly. But that's
so well put.
That's sort of the best I can come up with, because I don't understand it. I really don't mm-hmm. understand why. I mean, if there was ever a time Jews were going to leave the Democrat Party, it would be now, with Ilhan Omar, Rashid Tlaib, mm-hmm. and AOC. The mm-hmm. anti-Semitism that is rampant now in the Democrat Party is horrifying.
Yes. Yes. Well, number one, I think that is extremely well put, and that is one of my answers that I give, and you said it articulately and beautifully, which is that as long as the left succeeds in making people believe they're the party of the little guy, even though they're not, Jews are still going to believe that. But then I'm going to throw out a few others and see what you think, because I usually have about five of them that I tick off. And even after that, I say, you know, it's not the whole story, but it's part of it. So one of them is a very sad reality that non-Jews tend to assume that because someone's Jewish, that they are automatically loyal and dedicated to the Jewish people, to Israel. And the sad truth is that many Jews are not. You find the greatest amount of liberalism in the Reform community or the unaffiliated altogether, or the very, very secular Jews who are, you know, the matzo ball chicken soup Jews. And as Dennis Prager, we call them gastronomic Jews.
great.
Yeah, so Dennis Prager is the first person who said this, that in those communities, they're worshiping liberalism, not Judaism. So if you are going to find any conservatives, you'll find them in the most Orthodox communities. And I don't happen to be Orthodox or super observant, but that's where I find conservatives, if I find any, usually. I will throw one more out to you and then let you comment. And this is one, because I live in a very Christian area right now where my best friends are evangelical Christians who are conservative and share a lot of my conservative ideas. And I used to have a major chip on my shoulder about Christians for a whole host of reasons I'll get into one day on my show. And Jews grow up being very suspicious of Christians because they're fighting the last war, for one thing. And Christians, in their doctrine, are there to try and convert people. And when they try to convert Jews, which does bother me from the standpoint that they accepted our book. But then I finally realized after a while that it's not up to Christians to keep Jews Jewish. It's up to Jews to keep Jews Jewish. And if you know who you are as a Jew, you're not going to be threatened by it. That being said, there is a great distrust of Christians and even Christian support for Israel. Oh, they just want to, They just support us because when we all die, you know, we're all going to become Christians. Well, I say vive la difference. You know, we don't proselytize our religion, but we do like to proselytize our politics. And I wish Christians would leave Jews alone and maybe start pushing Christianity in a couple of other groups.
Right. Like Muslims.
If you know who you are as a Jew, you're not going to find it threatening. Right. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I never grew up with a suspicion of Christians. But I do have a good friend, and she is a Christian, and she goes to Bible study every week, and she's very religious, and I certainly admire and respect that about her. But she was often trying to convert me. And I finally had to say to her, you either have to stop or this friendship has to stop. Because I'm a Jew. I'm a secular Jew. I'm not a religious Jew. I'm a secular Jew. I grew up in a Reform household. But I am Jewish. Maybe that's the gefilte fish Jewishness you're talking about. But I feel my Judaism in every bone of my body, you know.
That's your neshama, your Jewish soul. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So
what happened with this friend? Did she respect you?
She respected my wishes.
That's beautiful. See, that's beautiful. Now, the problem I must throw in here is that there are other religions. There's one other religion considered, you know, Islam, who is not trying to persuade people with, talk and persuasion. You know, they have a history of converting people at the point of a sword. So
I was just going to say they use a sword.
We don't have that problem today with Christians, right. And yet liberal Jews seem to be more worried about Christians than they are Muslims, which to me is, yes.
I have to say that's not been my experience, but I certainly, you know, understand how that could be yours or how that could be anybody's.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And there is a love affair of with socialism. I got to tell my dog, you know, the mail's in. So just to say. I don't know if you can hear that, but my dog has decided to let me know that the mail is in, and
yes.
He does that occasionally. He sounds a lot bigger than he is.
That's funny. I took
anyway,
my dogs across the street. Go ahead.
I'm just thinking about what a perplexing thing it is. I think another thing, and then we'll let this go, really. We only have a little bit of time left. Maybe we should let it go now, but I think that non-Jews think that Jews would follow a similar pattern that when they're successful, and not all Jews are successful, but we do have a reputation of being fairly successful in business
right.
and elsewhere, that you're automatically going to become a conservative. And I think that Jews, no matter how much money they make, we still feel like we're in the minority because, in fact, we are. So money
well,
doesn't
are.
Necessarily gain you part of the establishment. And I think that's another anomaly in the Jewish community. But I can tell you that it is extremely infuriating to watch Jews make excuses for people like, well, the leftist Jew-hating kind of folks that we see today, BDSM and all of that, while thinking that it's the Christians they need to be worried about. Or they have moral equivalents where they say, well, there's anti-Semitism on both sides. No,
right.
Not the likes of what we're seeing today. In our few minutes left, though, right-wing Jewess. I just love that. Everybody, that's terrific. What is it right now that is bugging you more than anything? And I'm telling you, I'm sure you could give us a two-hour treatise here because is an unprecedented time. But what do you think people ought to be looking out for right now since we're having so much thrown at us at one time?
Well, and there is so much being thrown at us at one time. Yesterday, if you'd asked me, I would have said the Bob Barr. A.G. Bob Barr's hearing, which was an outrage, an absolute outrage.
Oh,
had
yes.
My blood pressure pounding in my head, in my head. But in the long term, or really in the short term until Election Day, I'm terribly, mm-hmm. terribly concerned about a conversion to mail-in balloting. The potential mm-hmm. for fraud, and anybody who is honest, and maybe that's the key word, anyone
yes.
who is honest on either side of the aisle recognizes and acknowledges that that is a recipe for disaster.
Are there any honest people on the other side that want all mail-in ballots? We have them in Colorado, and now we have a monopoly of leftist power in Colorado. Gee, what a shock.
I know. I was trying to be generous, but...
yeah, you got to stop that, right-wing Jewess. You got to stop.
That's the thing.
The time for generosity has passed. I'm just busting your chops.
You are right about that. So that concerns me hugely, because I'm telling you, Karen, if Trump does not win in 2020, this country is doomed. And I suspect people have said that. I suspect people have said that in previous elections, or they've said this is the most important election of our time. No.
Yes.
2020 is the most important election of our time, because the country's future depends on it. I really believe that.
Without a doubt. The great thing is, forgive me, I just had a brain fart there for a moment. The great thing is that this show gets rebroadcast on K-Star Radio Network, which is a Christian-owned station. And I just hope and pray that Christians will get out and vote.
Because
I do believe that... that Trump would win in a landslide if he even had a remotely fair election. But I'm not sure that, you know, that's even possible with what we're seeing that the left can do. I have to wrap up the show, I'm sorry to say. And you have just been a joy. How can people find you and connect with you on Twitter? And then we'll have you back again.
Thank you so much, Karen. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Oh, so Right-Wing Jewess on Twitter. That's Jewess, J-E-W-E-S-S, Right-Wing Jewess. Thank you so much for joining us. I just love tracking people down that I'm impressed with, and I was certainly impressed with you. So just keep up the great work. That is about all the time we have for this edition of Spouting Off. This is edition number 123, by the way. This is the 123rd episode of Spouting Off. That's pretty cool. Visit me at my website, www.karencataline.com. Facebook and Twitter by the same name. Thank you, Doug, my producer at BBS Radio. You want to visit BBS Radio, bbsradio.com. They produce Spouting Off for various other broadcasts around the country, and there's a lot of people working to make this show a success. Thank you, HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's always a lot to spout off about. And here's where you get to do it on Spouting Off.